explosion of
it. We're live right now.
Rolling.
Good morning from Schenectady, New York, the June meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. I'm Chairman John Sabini, joined as usual by my colleagues Daniel D. Hogan and Charles J. Diamond, and the appropriate staff such. So we will do public comment if we call the meeting to order. Any members of the public that want to speak, now is the time. Open mic. Hearing none, I will ask Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley to move the agenda along.
Calling meeting to order at 11:04, but we also received email comments from Jackson Leeds, and they will be attached to the minutes. The first matter is to approve the minutes of the board meeting held on May 26, 2011.
So moved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair, we had 85. Any questions or discussions? Items previously approved or denied or deferred by the board, there were 5. And items to approve, denied, or deferred by the board, they will be 11. And the first item is resolution to establish the Racing Fan Advisory Council.
Very good. This is a resolution that has been calendarized by me to establish a Racing Fan Advisory Council in consultation with both the state legislature and the governor's office. We've decided to move forward with this, and I think it's something that's a very positive item and one that will get some notice, frankly, from other jurisdictions because I think they'll see this is something that should have been done a long time ago. I'd like the board to create this council to provide input advice to the board on all matters relating to horse racing and wagering. Horse racing is a significant part of New York State's economy as it benefits the agriculture sector and provides a unique form of entertainment to many fans, and it's a statewide industry. There's opportunities to wager in all 62 counties and probably in 56 or so or 57 or so there are breeding farms. So. This is really a statewide industry. New York's tracks are destination points for tourists worldwide. We'll see that next month in Saratoga. It's clear that the preservation and continuation of parimutuel horse racing and its rich tradition are vital to the interest of the state of New York. As the industry has suffered from declining handle, it would be prudent to hear from fans whose interests, opinion, and thoughtful suggestions have the potential to increase the popularity of New York racing and thus grow more jobs for our economy. The board recognizes the significance of the interests and opinions of our racing fans. We think of stakeholders in racing as owners, trainers, jockeys, breeders, etc. But what we need to remember is that no one gets a paycheck in this business without the fans who actually put $2 on a horse. This advisory council would consist of 5 members appointed by the chair of the Racing and Wagering Board, 2 of those 5 based on recommendations by the respective chairs of the Assembly and Senate Racing Committees. The mission would include the following items: to increase fan base, recommend procedures to ensure the opinion of a fan is a central part of regulation of horse racing, report to this board concerning the operation of the state's licensed and franchised tracks and off-track betting corporations, advise the Racing and Wagering Board concerning laws and rules affecting horse racing, and advise the board on the creation and development of an I Love New York racing promotion. Some key elements of this resolution are 5 of the 3 members will be appointed by the chair of the board with recommendations from the respective chairs of the racing committees and the legislature. Members will be selected based on long-term involvement, interest in, knowledge of, and devotion to the sport of horse racing as fans of the sport. Certain categories of individuals, such as licensees and owners of tracks and things, would be barred from membership. Members shall serve for 5 years. The Racing Fan Advisory Council shall have the assistance of the Racing Wagering Board in regard to the receipt of information regarding horse racing in New York, and we would be a repository for them to draw upon to conduct their work. And I welcome Michael Amo today, who has headed up the organization Thoroughfan, which has been focused on expanding interest in thoroughbred racing. Although this council would not be restricted only to thoroughbred racing, but would include standardbred. But I congratulate Michael's efforts and his bringing this fan's voice to the forefront of racing, and I thank him for his involvement. And I know Mr. Diamond has some remarks on this as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We always welcome new and innovative ideas and new approaches to our industry, certainly. I do have a suggestion or recommendation. I assume or hope that the same standard will apply to the thoroughfare board that applies to our licensees. For example, background checks, if there are all access areas that are available to the members of the Thoroughbred Council, then I would think it would be incumbent upon our board to make sure that the Thoroughfare Council is vetted and that all security recommendations and procedures that we have in place for our licensees are also in place for the Thoroughfare Council. But I applaud the chairman's recommendation to establish the advisory council, and I look forward to working closely with the council in the future.
I agree with the sentiments of my colleague, Mr. Diamond. If people wanted to get access to backstretch and secure areas, just as anyone else that is involved in racing requires, they would require to undergo that check, because the first mission of our board is to preserve the integrity of racing. I guess if a member of this council didn't want access to the backstretch, then they could absolve themselves, but hopefully that wouldn't be the case, and that they would all be submitted to a full vetting, as we would with any other track employer, frankly, even employees of contractors who do work at the track who have access to the backstretch. Any other comments or questions before we move this item? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Tango Downs requests utilization of Fastback cards and your club cards.
Mr. Kellogg, something from Mr. Casarego.
Thank you. I'd like to, combine the next two items related to the Fastback cards at Tioga Downs and Vernon Downs. It's the same request to have these cards at both Tioga and Vernon, so I'd like to combine my summation of this item to include both tracks. By letter dated April 27, 2011, American Racing, Vernon Downs, and Tioga Downs requested New York State Racing Wagering Board approval to amend its account wagering plan of operation regarding fast bet cards. These cards would be bearer accounts. And Vernon Downs and Tioga Downs currently offers bearer accounts pursuant to New York State Racing Wagering Board Rule 5300.4b, and Vernon and Tioga currently collect identifying information for these bearer accounts, although it is not required by the rules. With the current request, Vernon and Tioga propose offering two types of bearer accounts, a your club card and a fastback card. The new offering that they're requesting in this board item is not to collect the identifying information. And in essence, they will have two cards, a Your Club card and a Fastback card. As I stated previously, both cards remain bearer accounts under the rules. The Your Club card requires identification, and as I stated, the Fastback cards will not require identification. Vernon and Tioga has submitted the revised internal controls for this new card offering. Staff has reviewed the controls to ensure compliance with the rules 5300.4b4, cancellations, 5300.8, segregation of funds, 5300.9, conduct of wagering, 5300.12, funding, 5300.13, account statements, 5300.14, record keeping, 5300.20, reports, and 5300.22, disputes. Again, those are the rules that are in place to ensure compliance for these cards. And again, staff has reviewed the rules and they are in compliance. Has reviewed the cards and they are in compliance with the rules. And staff recommends that the board approve this request for both Tioga and Vernon Downs.
So we're coupling these two items. In the case of these bearer accounts, I'm reminded of when the Yankees handed out World Series checks and said, pay to bearer, and Yogi said, you spelled my name wrong. Comments or questions?
Jim, basically the Year Club card is just a voucher.
It's an account. It's a card. It's not a voucher. But you load it onto you, and you can take that, you know, at the end of the day, bring the card back the next day, and it accumulates. And, you know, as a voucher would, if you took the voucher home in your pocket. But as I said, originally they didn't have to have these identifying information submitted, but they did. They did gather it, and they decided that they wanted to also offer for non-identifying information, so they have two cards. But yes, it is very similar to a voucher.
Questions or comments? Any further? Okay, we're going to vote on the two items as a unit, or does it make it simpler? We just do each of them.
I think the board can vote collectively.
Okay, so we're going to combine the Tioga and Vernon requests for utilization of Fastback cards and Your Club cards. All those in favor of the item? Aye.
Aye.
Double aye.
Double aye. Items are approved. Next item.
Capital Region OTB requests to install self-activated betting terminals at Bertie's in Binghamton.
Mr. Kellogg.
Thank you once again. Catskill Off Track Betting Corporation has requested amendment to their plan of operation to authorize or installation of a self-activated betting terminals at Birchie's, an establishment which is located at 567 Conklin Road, Binghamton, New York, which is located in Broome County. Birchie's Company Incorporated holds a valid liquor license. Staff has conducted a suitability review on the establishment and the principles, which consisted of personal history disclosure forms, financial disclosure forms, personal tax returns, credit histories, business records, criminal histories, and various background checks. The review by staff did not disclose any adverse findings related to the review. The term of the agreement between Catskill OTB and Birchie's will be for 1 year and shall renew automatically unless either party cancels within 30 days of the renewal. Should the board approve the request, staff recommends that the approval include the following conditions. Federal fingerprints would need to be returned for Catherine Birch, who is one of the principals in the corporation with no, the fingerprints would have to be returned with no disqualifying information, federal. The wagering and simulcasting at this facility would be conducted in accordance with the terms of the operating agreement presented to the board, as well as all applicable statutes and board rules that all wagering will be conducted through self-service terminals only. The board's approval to the installation of the self-activated betting terminals at this location shall expire and be of no force and effect in the event of any change in ownership or operation without the prior written approval of the board. And the final condition is that it is expected that Catskill Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation will arrange for the occasional inspection of this facility to assure compliance with the plan of operation and relevant laws and board rules, and certify to our board on a periodic, ongoing basis that the conduct of wagering at this facility is in compliance with the foregoing. Staff is recommending, based on our review, approval of the installation of self-activated betting terminals at Birchie's Company Incorporated in Binghamton, New York.
Questions or comments on the item? Mr.
Yes.
Holden.
Mr. Kellogg, are the Birch's husband and wife team, or is David a son of a Birch?
I believe they're husband and wife.
Do you want to clarify?
Very nice.
Yeah, any idea when the...
Mr. Diamond.
Oh, boy. Any idea when we will receive the federal prints? The application, by the way, was very thorough, and I reviewed it, and the Birchies did a great job on it. But Any sense of what was...
There was one issue. The state prints have come back, and they were clean for both individuals. There was an issue with the card on the Catherine, and we just got them last week, and I would say within a couple weeks that we should have the federal prints back.
Okay, any other questions or comments on stands at Birchie's from Catskillo TV? Hearing none, Mr. Hogan has excused himself, but intended to vote yes. All those in favor of this item?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Yonkers Raceway requests for approval of the expansion project, Empire City Casino.
Mr. Kellogg.
Thank you. Once again, here, Yonkers Raceway, as part of their original expansion, had included long-term plans for what I'm about to describe in what they so-called the Phase 2 of their facility renovations and construction. And by a letter dated, June 10th, 2011, Yonkers is requesting New York State Board of Racing and Wagering Board approval to expand Yonkers Raceway Empire City Casino facility. The proposed project consists of construction of an east wing of approximately 60,000 square feet, 30,000 of which would be new gaming space, a basement area of 10,000 square feet, and 20,000 square feet of new food and beverage space. The project also includes construction at the entrance of the casino to a porte-cochere of approximately 6,600 square feet. We have attached a copy of the construction permit from Office of General Services, which is dated June 8, 2011. Yonkers Raceway has also submitted detailed architectural plans of the proposed project. The letter states that the project will have no adverse impact on any aspect of Yonkers Raceway's harness racing activities. A review of the plan shows that the construction will not be near the racetrack oval or backstretch area and will not interfere with any paramutual activities in the facility. A copy of the detailed architectural plans is available for review upon request. As a result of the information presented and reviewed, staff recommends approval of this project as described in their letter and in the OGS permit and architectural plans in accordance with Section 322 of the New York State Racing and Wagering Paramutual Wagering and Breeding Law. Staff also further recommends that Yonkers Raceway be reminded that they will need to submit a request to the board for approval along with the permits from OGS for any further construction related to this project. I just wanted to mention that part of what they're doing with this project, as a matter of having the more square footage and the expansion, that they estimate that they'll be able to relocate or reconfigure 350 of the current 310 VLTs that they have and allow for more space, and add 400 table game VLTs, which would give them a total of 55,710 VLTs. Based on, as mentioned, staff recommends approval of this request.
I see the lottery has signed off on their approval as well. Questions or comments on the Yonkers Raceway expansion?
So a question,
Mr. Diamond.
I'm sorry. The staff recommends Yonkers Raceway be reminded that they submit a request to the board for approval along with this and also OGS stuff. Is there a plan for right now for future construction?
Well,
sorry, these would be the related permits.
And
what normally happens is that when there's a substantial project, permits are issued in a series by the Office of General Services. So, for example, with the Aqueduct VLT project, there have been perhaps two dozen permits that have already been issued, and they follow sequentially. The board doesn't need to approve issue a racing law permit for the Aqueduct VLT project, but for the Yonkers project it does. So as each permit comes forward from OGS, there's a need for that permit to be approved by the board under Section 322 of the racing law. As a matter of procedure, OGS provides me with copies of the permits that they issue on these projects so that I can immediately refer them to the audits and investigation section for processing.
Okay, thank you. Other questions or comments on the Yonkers Raceway expansion? Hearing none, we'll move the item. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Saratoga Harness requests to amend player reward program, add new promotional incentives to ADW platform.
Mr. Kellogg.
Thank you. Saratoga Harness, which currently has a player rewards program, has submitted a letter requesting that the New York State Racing Wagering Board approval to amend its Saratoga Bets player rewards program. What Saratoga Harness is proposing to amend is offering it with their player rewards program a daily rebate program where customers wagering $2,000 or more in the prior month can earn daily rebates in lieu of weekly rebates. Obviously, one of the things that they stand to gain for this is they figure if they put the money in the customer's hand that they'll be able to obviously turn around and hopefully bet some more and increase their handle in this program and for the track. They also propose to amend the percentages and tiers available to customers. And they also intend to increase the rebate on harness racing products compared to other products. You will then get a bigger rebate by betting on harness racing. And they also intend to rebate the cost of past performance and handicapping data, which they currently offer on their website through a application stores where you are able to buy handicapping and past performance data. So for $2, they will rebate you the cost for buying these programs. And they also propose rebating the cost of the automated clearinghouse deposits and fees that are charged for deposits of more than $250. The fees associated if anyone were to deposit $250, the fee associated that they propose rebating that cost. Saratoga Harness has submitted revised rules and regulations reflecting the changes that I've just mentioned. They will notify customers. The procedure how they will implement this is that they'll notify customers who wager $2,000 in the preceding month that they are eligible for the daily rebate program. Customers who wish to participate in the daily rebate program must formally notify Saratoga Harness, and they may change once every 90 days. The daily rebates will be calculated on the following day, and the customer's account will be credited by 3 p.m. Based upon the information submitted and reviewed by staff is recommending approval of this amendment to their Saratoga Bets Player Rewards Program.
Chair notes for the record that Messrs. Matarazzo and Savage are here from Saratoga Raceway, and we welcome them. Questions or comments from the board on the application for Saratoga Bets?
Gene, for Council Firestein. Weren't we going to talk about, I think you and I might have had a discussion about changing some of the reporting requirements that we get for the player rewards programs and going from a quarterly basis to
an annual basis?
And wouldn't this be the appropriate place for us to put that in, start here, and then?
It could be done here, but I think that because it hasn't been done in preparation for this item, if the board will indulge me, I would rather have it on the next monthly meeting so that we can develop the appropriate language rather than developing it after the concept.
Well, what Mr. Hogan refers to is the fact that the board has been contemplating easing reporting requirements so that our stakeholders don't have to paper us with information that we can otherwise have on an annual basis rather than have on a quarterly basis. since none of us really feel it's absolutely critical to the integrity aspect that the board is commissioned by state law to watch, so that...
I think it's indicative of the way the programs have been running. They're all running, for the most part, everyone I've seen, that they've been running pretty well. This is another example of where a track comes in and, based on their experience, makes changes that are more favorable to the better. So I'm an enthusiastic yes, but yeah, I think that the quarterly reporting is a little easier for us and for them as well.
Okay. We'll have that for next meeting.
Great. Good. Other questions or comments on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Saratoga Harness request to amend their player reward program and promotional incentives for ADW players?
Aye.
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 Next item, Buffalo Raceway. I'm sorry.
Buffalo Raceway player reward program proposal.
Mr. Kellogg again.
Okay, thank you once again.
Romero Pena performing diligent service as a substitute.
By letter dated May 20th, Buffalo Raceway is requesting the New York State Racing and Wagering Board approval to implement a players reward program. Previously, Buffalo, obviously, this is the first time they do not have a players reward program. The program is a cash rewards program, and enrolled players will earn 1 point for every dollar wagered. Players must wager at least $1,500 a month to be eligible for rewards, and players will earn a 2% rebate of the total points regardless of the type of wager. Players must be 18 years old to participate. Rewards will only be issued on tracks who have provided consent. No rewards will be issued on wagers resulting in a payout of $2.10 on a $2 wager. Also, to note, as I mentioned, this is the first time that they're coming forward with this request for a players reward program. So, and Buffalo Raceway currently does not offer account wagering, and they've noted, and we are noting here for you, that they will be the only track or OTB, if approved by the board, with a players reward program without any form of account wagering. Because of this, Buffalo will issue the rewards in the form of a voucher. And how it will work is no later than the fifth day after the end of the month, the vouchers will be printed under the supervision of the mutual manager and the controller. The serial number of the voucher for each player will be recorded, and the player must sign a form to claim the voucher. Any voucher not claimed by the end of the month will be null and void. Staff has reviewed Buffalo Raceway's rules and internal controls which they have submitted for the program, and we have found them to be consistent with the other programs that have previously been approved by the board. Staff recommends the board approve the request conditioned on the following. Buffalo Raceway shall obtain, as mentioned previously, prior written consent of the host track prior to awarding rewards on the track. Buffalo also shall have the access and the right to, our board will have the access and right to audit the program, including the names of the players and vouchers issued. The last requirement, since this is the first time that Buffalo Raceway previously haven't been approved for a rewards program, and going along with what Member Hogan has mentioned previously, the reports that are required to be submitted for Buffalo Raceway, which previously for the other racetracks are being and OTBs are submitted quarterly, since this is the first time and they currently haven't been submitting reports, we're proposing that these reports that they submit, and the reports are shall include but not be limited to the number of participants in the program, details of the rewards by category, level of participation, cumulative rewards earned, the amount of rewards re-wagered and cumulatively for program participants, the amount wagered by bet type, by in-state and out-of-state races. And each report shall also contain analysis regarding the effect of the program on handle, net effect on income from wagering, and the costs incurred as a result of the program operation. We are recommending that these reports be filed on an annual basis, and staff will combine this annual filing of these required reports along with other year-end information that is currently required and submitted by the TRACs and OTBs on an annual basis. And as council has mentioned, staff next month will be preparing an item for board approval so that we make this requirement the same requirement for the other OTBs and TRACs that have currently been approved for player rewards wagering. So based on everything that's been submitted by Buffalo related to their player rewards program and reviewed, staff is recommending approval of this item.
Questions or comments on the Buffalo Raceway Player Rewards Program, which is cash on the barrelhead, no account wagering.
No fees associated. It's all good.
No. Let me note that the recent SIP inspection that we conducted at Buffalo Raceway, speaking for the other members, that it was a very improved facility, and Mr. Mango and his staff have really done a great job in making that challenging piece of property look good for the fans. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Buffalo Raceway Players Rewards Program, say aye.
Aye.
Now for the adjudication part of our agenda, the People's Court.
In the matter of Joshua R. Marsh.
Mr. Firestone.
Thank you, Chairman. This matter was initiated by order to show cause served upon Mr. Marks, who's a harness racing licensee. The order to show cause was issued seeking sanctions of suspension and or revocation, a fine, a bar from licensing eligibility for a time period to be determined, and exclusion from all New York State tracks. The charges which underlie the order to show cause, which are detailed both in the order to show cause, which is part of the record before you, as well as the hearing officer's report, relate to an incident at Vernon Downs on September 25th, 2010, during the race and subsequent to the race, an incident at Vernon Downs on October 1st, 2010, violation of the terms of probation which were established by the board for Mr. Marks pursuant to a March 2008 findings and order in a prior case, and Mr. Marks's overall disciplinary history. There was a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. The board has before it the report of the hearing officer, in which the hearing officer recommends that any licenses held by Mr. Marks be revoked based upon the findings of conduct in violation of board rules on September 25 and October 1, 2010. The hearing officer further recommends that any future license be subject to the somewhat detailed conditions that are enumerated in the hearing officer's report. Before the board acts on this matter, just to clarify, the hearing officer in his report referred to the current licensing status of Mr. Marks as having expired in October of 2010. Just for clarification, the then existing applications did expire on that date. But there was actually no license underlying those applications. Instead, Mr. Marks, subsequent to a period some time ago prior to 2009, had been issued receipts, if you will, or the equivalent of temporary licenses to participate. There was no actual permanent license, if you will, issued for those years.
I'd just like to read something into the record regarding this case. This is a very serious case, and I think the board members who have reviewed the file will agree with it. The findings and recommendations of the hearing officer are the ones that I agree with, but I suggest the additional finding and conclusion to clarify the termination of any formerly existing licensee rights and establish the basis for consideration of any further licensing. First, that Mr. Marks's conduct, except as found in finding fact number 7, which is on page 14 of the decision, constituted a violation of rules set in 1C of the order to show cause, as well as a violation of the terms of his probation as articulated in 1D of the order to show cause. And secondly, that Mr. Marks be excluded from the grounds of all New York State racetracks pursuant to Board Rule 4119.8 until such time as he may be granted any licensing privileges on conditions consistent with the recommendations of the hearing officer and those that may be determined by board staff to be necessary to assure Mr. Marks's fitness to participate in racing as well as the safety of the participants and the integrity of racing. Mr. Marks's conduct at Vernon Downs is has been troubling, to put the best face on it. And I think we take these matters like this very seriously. Other questions or comments on the Marks case?
I'll make a comment, Mr. Chairman. Also, kudos to Hearing Officer Parenti, who did a very extensive, very good job, I guess, at the hearing. And we've discussed this before, but consistently improper behavior, rules violations, misconduct, and generally displaying violations and the problems that occurred with Mr. Marks, as we all know, are a detriment to the standards that we live by in racing, which is our hallmark integrity. And it's important, I think, and incumbent upon us to send a clear message every time that this happens that our licensees are held to a high standard, and any violation of those standards will be dealt with fairly, but in a very strict manner, and serious consequences can occur, such as Mr. Marks will experience. So my kudos to Parenti and also to my board members for the recommendation on Mr. Marks.
Any other questions or comments?
I would just like to say that should there ever be consideration of lifting the revocation on Mr. Marks, that the bar be set very, very high. That's...
Great. We'll move the item then. All those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's report with the extra verbiage I wrote into the record, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of Paul A. Nichols.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal by jockey Paul Nichols, Jr., from a decision of the board steward at Finger Lakes Racetrack. The steward imposed a 10-day license suspension for careless riding during the seventh race last August, on the 17th of August. There was a hearing that was scheduled and held before Mr. Parenti, once again as the designated hearing officer. The board has before the hearing officer's report in which he recommends that the violation and suspension be upheld.
Questions or comments on the Nickel case? Hearing none. All those in favor of holding the hearing officer's report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of Natalie Perez.
This is not the Major League Baseball player, but rather the apprentice jockey, Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. As you noted, Mr. Perez was at the time of this incident on October 28th of 2010, an apprentice jockey who was the recipient of a 7-day license suspension for careless riding during the fifth race on the October 28th date. Once again, Mr. Parenti served as the designated hearing officer. There was a hearing scheduled. Mr. Perez did not appear for the hearing, nor was he represented in any manner. The hearing officer has submitted the report that you have before you, in which he recommends that the violation and suspension be upheld.
No show, you gotta go. Any questions or comments on the Perez case? Hearing none.
Yes, Mr. Irvin. I do. Okay, so he got put down for 10 days, and then he appeals it. Did he keep riding on up to this time?
I think this was a 7-day suspension.
Yeah.
There's typically a stay of the...
So even apprentice jockeys get a stay?
Yes. The only situations historically that stays are not granted for somewhat routine violations are where public health, safety, or welfare is at risk.
I'm still like doubling it for making us hold a hearing and then not showing you tell you the truth.
All those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Next item.
In the matter of the appeal of Edwin J. Shackle to King David J. Aqueduct Racetrack, first race of January
29,
2011.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is an appeal by the owner of a second place horse from the decision of the stewards at Aqueduct Racetrack involving the first race on January 29th of this year. In that race, the stewards, having learned of a change of equipment after wagering had begun, permitted the horse King David J to compete in the race for purse purposes only rather than for wagering as well as purse purposes. The owner of the second place horse challenges the ruling of the stewards to allow the horse to race for purse purposes. A motion to dismiss the appeal was filed by the Office of Board Counsel. There was a submission in opposition to the motion. After consideration, Mr. Parente, once again as the designated hearing officer, recommends that the motion to dismiss be granted and that the appeal be dismissed. The board has before it the relevant papers constituting the record.
Questions or comments from the board members on Mr. Schatzel's appeal? Hearing none, all those in favor of holding the hearing officer's report on the appeal of Edwin J. Schatzel?
Aye.
Aye. That concludes the official agenda.
Item for board information discussion, there was 8. And there was no follow-up items.
Okay.
And I'll adjourn the meeting at
11:45.
See you all at Saratoga.
That's great. We're still laughing. Did they want to be a roadshow? No.
So I got to report this morning and all of his off game every day.
What's going on?
You got that email from Shannon?
We still on Joe?
Yes.
Still on
Mike. Yeah, Mike's
still on Mike.
Mike's just still on.